Hey, everybody. I wanted to do a quick disclaimer before the episode started. So this episode is about costumes at Disneyland, and we do reference a lot of photos. Now, you don't need the photos to enjoy the episode, but it will help, especially if you're not familiar with the costumes of the Disney parks. So I encourage you to go to our Instagram, which is at 1313 Harbor, the podcast. So once again, at 1313 Harbor, the podcast. And there will be a story highlights called Costumes of Disney. So all the pictures we reference will be in roughly in order. So at least you can do a quick glance through and see what costumes we're talking about, or you can go along with us as we're doing the episode and you can see them one by one, however you want to see them, or you can look them up on Google as well. But just if you need that extra visual aid, it's on our Instagram. Thank you for listening to this disclaimer, and back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Does everyone know what time it is? It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast, hosted by Jasmine and her friends.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where we don't just get cute, we get drop-dead gorgeous. This week, I wrote it five minutes before we started. This week, I'm with my good friend, Cassie from Glimmerwood. And we're both big Drag Race fans, so I'm like, oh, I should put a Drag Race quote on here.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, at least it made you laugh, so that's good.
Maybe someone else.
Yes. Like, yes. So Cassie has this company that makes amazing costumes, Glimmerwood. My first real cosplay I ever did was made by Cassie, Mary Quite Contrary.
Oh, and 2013.
I know. It's been that long. That was my first convention I went to was D23, and I was Mary Quite Contrary.
And no one knew who you were.
No. So many people thought they knew who I was. Like this one lady, she had the smirk on her face and she's like, I know who you are. And I'm like, oh, you do? And she's older. So I thought maybe she does. And she's like, I think she said I was the doll from
the porcelain doll from the new Oz movie. Yeah.
It was funny because whoever I was standing next to, that's who I was. Like when I was standing next to Peter Pan, I was you were Tinkerbell, I was Wendy. When I was standing next to the Lone Ranger, I was a damsel in distress. I'm like, why would I just dress like a damsel in distress?
I don't know. Why not?
It's true. I'm always distressed. So, and I'm loving it because Cassie's sewing right now because she is awesome. And no, it's okay. She's busy. But if you want a costume, go to her website. She's amazing. We've done many costumes together, mostly. Like, they're great because, like, basically how we work is I try to give you as much freedom as I can. I go to you and I'm like, okay, this is what I want to be here. Or, you know, like, I only have, like, two or three, like, not even rules, but, like I don't like to show my upper arm. I need it to have some support, like, and I want to look, like, usually, like, thinner at the waist. And then you're just like Ursula, that's a good example of something that you were like, look, I have this idea. I know you want to be Ursula. I have this really good idea. Just trust me. And I did. And it was amazing.
Well, that was the designer doll.
Yes.
And I thought that the doll turned out so different than the original sketch. So I tried to incorporate them both.
So, Cassie, would you like to talk a little bit about Glimmerwood and what got you started and your love of sewing?
So I've always been sewing. My mom taught me when I was really, really little. It started with like, let's learn how to follow a pattern. Let's make soft blocks for the kid down the street. And then I started buying things, taking them apart, putting them back together in weird ways when I was in junior high. We're like, oh, I like that patchwork pair of jeans. I should make my own. They were awful, but I wore them proudly. and in high school, I started looking at patterns again and making my own patterns. I made a prom dress. It was ridiculous, but I was like, I'm going to be a fairy for prom. Wore wings. They were not cute. you know, before like online tutorials, I was just like, let's put some nylons over this wire frame and spray paint it.
Yeah, we were used before YouTube, so we had to kind of figure things out on our own. Maybe you had a magazine, maybe that was about it.
Or you'd see something on like HGTV.
Yep.
Back when I had like actual TV and not stream everything.
But yeah, so I did that. And then I kind of just,
sewing machine fell in the back of the closet. And then I started seeing, back to Tracy, the gowns that she had done with Firefly Path. And I thought, if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I'd want to sew. And then my job was just kind of stagnant for me. Like, I wasn't really growing there. I loved where I was. I loved who I was working with. I loved the company. And then my boss was the one who said, but you don't like your job. You don't like what you're actually doing every day. And so you're not, like, I've seen you with passion and this isn't it. So we decided that I'd go part-time and either, and just reassess in a few months, whether I would come back with a new role to that company or maybe find something else, or maybe just stay part-time. And as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I've just, you know, you just kind of fall into jobs in your, you know, early 20s. Don't know what's going to happen. And I thought, oh, Joellen makes costumes. I wonder if I can make costumes. And I kind of wanted to get into princess parties at the time. But the costumes are expensive because they're a lot of work. And so I called Joellen on my way home from this meeting. She was like, yeah, like, come, I'll teach you. She's a friend. Like, I didn't just, like, mm-hmm. call someone I don't know.
Yeah. Like, hey, teach me your secrets.
I imagine anytime I tell that story, I kind of just imagine people, like, messaging her. Glimmerwood said she interned with you. I want to intern with you. And I'm like, no, like, she and I were friends already.
Like, she's like, yeah, you can intern for this much money.
So I don't know if she's looking for interns or not, mm-mm. but don't expect it. And after a few months of working with her, I was having so much fun. I was like, okay, Glimmerwood's going to be this thing. Then they so graciously laid me off. So Doe said that I'm the only person who calls her every year to thank her for laying me off. Thanks for firing me.
That saved my life.
So that's my history. What I do now is I do private commissions for clients. So people come to me, they say, hey, I want you to make this costume for me. I determine whether or not I can, whether or not I want to. there's just some stuff that's like out of my wheelhouse. And like, you may like my style, but like, I will never make a good bodysuit. Like, that's just not where my strengths lie. Actually, in the last year, I haven't been doing as much cosplay, but when I first started, most of my clients were party companies, and I would do my own interpretations of Disney characters, so I'm going to have a lot to talk about today.
Yay! Well, this week's episode is about transitions. No, it's about
trying to make it a good one, but then I messed it up.
I do that all the time. You have no idea. We're like, we'll be talking about like, oh, and then I got a cat. By the way, this week's episode is about roller coasters.
Ooh, roller coasters. Let's talk about those.
I do love roller coasters. So this week's episode is about costumes in the Disney park. So it's not to the character, not the quality of the character or the look. I mean, I'm sure wigs will be mentioned just because Cassie's mm-hmm. so amazing at hair. So
I used to be pretty good.
And just the costume. So it could be like a costume Mickey wears or the like Cinderella's costume. So just but it can be at any Disney park from any Disney time. Those are the rules. That's it.
Any Disney time. I should have gone way back.
Well, those tend to not be. I don't think there's too many great costumes from early on, like the early Mickey and Minnie, where it's just a human in a bodysuit and a big old head. And a cloth head, which could not be sanitary.
But I think like the Snow White in early parks was really cute. Oh, and the mermaids.
And they use their real hair. That was always the amazing thing. So I have a friend, my friend Matt, which he will be on a future episode. His aunt was Snow White at the parks, and he said they cast her because she had the right hair.
Oh, interesting.
Because now everyone wears everyone wears a wig. Whether you have the perfect hair or not, you're going to wear a wig. So back then it was like, oh, this is part of the consideration.
I know I'm going to be critiquing stuff, but like as a rule, I just like my preference better than it's ugly. But yes. There are a few things today.
That's the disclaimer for this episode. So all these costumes are our opinions. There's none that we think are terrible. This is just – so there's not going to – we're going to talk about our favorites, costumes we'd like to improve, and then costumes we'd love to see in the parks. We're not going to – this is nothing to do with the people who make them. This is nothing to do with Disney, nothing to do with the people who portray the characters.
Well, I mean, it's everything to do with Disney.
Well, yeah, okay. So everything to do with Disney. But, like, I get – like, a lot of people who design these costumes, you don't get carte blanche. Like, you have to do what Disney tells you to do. Right. So this is just – so, yeah, we wanted to keep it positive, and this is just constructive criticism to anyone who cares to hear it. And a lot of people will love the costumes that are on our unfavorite list, and they might have them, and this isn't a critique against you. This is just us being like, if it were me, this is what I would do. Okay, so let's start with our favorite costumes. So we also have drop boxes with our pictures, which I will try to post somewhere. I don't know where, but I'll try to – show everybody these, or you can we'll try to describe them best we can so you can look it up on like Google. So first I wanted to start with this could be just personal preference, which it is, Wendy Darling in Dream Along with Mickey at Dream Along with Mickey show at Walt Disney World. So this one, a big reason why I like this, I'll just admit it off the bat, is you when I asked for a Wendy costume, it was kind of, was it this one or is it more the Disneyland Paris one that you were inspired by?
No, I just used mine as inspiration. Because you may have said that you wanted the lace.
Yes.
But you liked mine because it was made out of chiffon. So it was really flowy. It looked like you were flying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this one has the little lace details too, which I did add to yours.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love like, so if you want to look it up, it's the, what I keep forgetting the name of the show, the Dream Along with Mickey show at Walt Disney World. I don't necessarily like love the fabric choice. It's cute, but I love the design of it. I love the puff sleeves. I love the little lace detail. I love that it doesn't just look like a nightgown, that it looks
which
a little more.
Which is funny because I think it should look more like a nightgown. it looks like a party dress to me, and I'm not going to bed in that.
It's true. I'm not a big fan of Peter's in this particular case, but we're not talking about him.
No.
It's, yeah, the shorts get me.
The colors.
Well, the colors.
I mean, greens should go well together, but you got brown greens, you got yellow greens, you got blue greens, you got brown, a wooden dagger. Like the hat just clashes. It's sitting on top of his head instead of like enclosing.
I mean, also, I think instead of fabric leaves, real leaves might have been better.
Yeah.
That's just me.
It's no, I mean, I know I said I was going to be nice, but I don't know what they were thinking with this.
And I like Peter Pan in more of a tunic look, not
yes,
like a two-piece. Yeah. So that's, yeah, no problem with the shorts in and of itself. It's more of the...
the length of the bodice. That's not the top.
I do like Wendy in the park. I do like it when it's a little zhuzhed up, though. And then I will be contradicting myself later because I'll be like, this costume doesn't look enough like the movie. So.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're going to say that for.
Most of these on my list are Mickey and Friends. I just love... especially internationally, how they dress Mickey and Friends. I love the Mickey and Friends at DCA. I just think it's adorable. It's like they – so there's one of Donald and Daisy, and then I think there's one of just Minnie. I just love these because they're not – it's, yeah, it's taking you back to this time period of when these movies would be out. I love that Donald looks like Jughead. That cracks me up.
Daisy's outfit's so precious.
Daisy's is adorable. And I love the like vintage look. I love that it's still authentic to the characters. Like their butts are all still out. Donald and Daisy. But it's showing like a cute, it's like a costume, but it's also like putting you in the time period. And yeah, obviously there's not like giant ducks walking around in real life that can talk, but it's cute.
Yeah. What?
I'm breaking the magic. Or are they? I love that Donald and Daisy are coordinated. I just think that's precious. And the color palette is a bit of a more like three-strip Technicolor muted palette. Like Minnie's is purple and pink, which are my favorite colors. But it's, yeah, they're not so, like, I feel like they actually, as silly as we might think, like, oh, they dressed up Minnie Mouse. I feel like they actually, like, looked at vintage silhouettes, looked at vintage fabrics.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I pulled some Minnie's because I think she gets some of the cutest outfits because she can just be put in a party dress. And sometimes that's like
easier because you just have to, okay, here's some cute fabric. Like, here's a good pattern. Like, her witch outfit and her polka dot outfit are not that different in silhouette, but they know that it works on her.
Yeah, and I do love her witch outfit.
It's, oh my gosh, it's so cute.
From Halloween. So yeah, this is all things mini right now. I also have, so now my list is going to be a little out of order because I also have a Minnie Mouse pink dress from Tokyo Disneyland on my list. And she actually has more makeup on than I've ever seen her wear. She has red lipstick and I love it. And I would wear this look in real life. I think this is adorable.
Oh, for me. For sure. Me too.
It's so cute. And it's definitely, you look at it and you're like, this is very Minnie Mouse. It's that silhouette you're talking about, the party dress. She has the puffy sleeves, the cinched, not cinched waist, but the waist that goes in, and then like a flare A-line type skirt and, you know, a little pantaloon showing. It's just so precious. And I, you know, it's not necessarily like a fabric choice thing you pay attention. It's the fun thing with Mickey and Friends is that you can be so fun and bold and over the top and really cute. Another look I love is the Mickey and Friends Easter looks from, I believe it's, is it Tokyo Disney or Hong Kong Disney?
I love
basically
those.
All the Asian parks have amazing Mickey and Friends costumes that they change regularly, and they're gorgeous. The mini one is actually the most different. It's a pink dress with elbow-length sleeves, and it's the one with Mickey and Minnie, and it's a knee-length dress, and I would wear that. It's gorgeous, and Mickey's wearing a yellow blazer, a vest with different like flowers on it, because I believe in Hong Kong, it's – Easter celebration is like more of a flower type festival. It's like flowers and eggs. And it's just so adorable. And they're holding flowers. And Minnie's dress is pink. It's the best color in the world. And Mickey's is yellow. And of course, they're a couple because Mickey has the purple in his vest and the pink in his vest. And Minnie has some green in her dress. So they match.
And then I pulled up I don't even know what this was, but it was a party. It was some big celebration.
That was for their 90th. So it's the 90th celebration look. The only thing I don't like about this look. So it's Mickey and Minnie, their 90th birthday celebration. Mickey's pants are like knee length, or like not knee, like the, like mid. It's the Kevin Smith pants.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, where they're like, they're what do you call flood pants? Like,
yeah. I mean, to be honest, I would bring Minnie's dress up too. I think knee length is always kind of a weird length. For anything.
For any mouse. Yeah.
Well, any person. Yeah. I think it kind of like cuts you off. Mm-hmm. Like similarly how to like if you're taking a photo and you're cropping it, you don't want to crop at a joint. Like a full length photo that ends at the ankle looks weird. Same with the knee. You want it to be like thigh or something. So yeah, I would shorten that. But I love I think the colors are just like
yes,
party barftastic and
so fun. Looks like a funfetti cake.
Yes.
It's just so delicious. And I love their hats. I love that they have the same birthday because everyone you have is your boyfriend. You have the same birthday. It's a must.
Did not know that, but okay.
Yeah, sorry. You have to tell your husband, like,
sorry,
we gotta
change your birthday.
We go on Mickey and Minnie rules. I think that's all for the Mickey. Oh, and then I also have Donald and Daisy in their spring looks, and they're wearing blue and purple, and they're wearing an ombre. So Donald's wearing a blue into purple ombre, and Daisy's wearing a purple into blue ombre. And it's so adorable. And Daisy even has like a tuft of blonde hair at the top.
Curls.
Yeah, it's so adorable. And she has little matching flowers. Donald has a whistle. I'm sure the whistle has a purpose. I just don't know what that is.
How do you think he gets his beak around it to blow?
That's true. Daisy has to hold it for him.
But like beaks are stiff. You can't like wrap your lips around something if you don't have lips.
I actually, when I was on the Backstage Magic Tour in Walt Disney World, I got to hold up a mini dress. And the first thing I thought was, oh, this could fit me. And I was really excited because I could never find costumes that could fit me. And they make them big because, you know, it has to go on top of her mouse form. And they're not attached to the person. Which, like I thought they would be, they are actually like a costume they can put on and off, at least in this case. And they have little snaps to snap on because I'm sure kids are like, ah, and you can't have Minnie's shoulder popping out.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that happen before.
They're very heavy. Their costumes are so heavy.
Mad props to the characters.
Yes. For being so muscular. So actually the last thing, because three of my spots on my top five were Mickey and Friends. So my last thing on my favorite costumes is, I've never seen this before until I did research for this episode. It's Anastasia and Drizella at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Those costumes were so good.
Amazing. So they are, you can look it up. If you look up Anastasia and Drizella at Magic Kingdom, it's one of the top pictures to come up. It's their color palettes, and it's kind of the silhouettes of the dress, but they're Rococo style. And it's a bit more pronounced because a lot of Disney princess dress tend to be bell-shaped. Not like bell, like Beauty and the Beast, but like circle.
Just simple.
Alien. And these are more accurate to the time period. They actually look like really beautiful.
It's that like beautiful tacky, like they chose fun fabrics, but the way that everything was put together, like they do look tacky like they did in the movie.
Yep. They mix and match a lot of textures and fabrics.
And it shouldn't go, but it goes.
So Drizella has like, she just has a sheer lace overlay, but then she has the peplum under it. And then she has like two layers of her dress. And Anastasia, it's similar, but she just has, it's almost like Cinderella-esque. With the
side their peplums shapes. Are more Cinderella than in the movie. They had the butt bump.
Yes,
I don't know what that's called. Doing costumes for my job, but
I would wear these, and I like too. They kind of like are those classic style corsets where it flattens you the whole way.
More the Rococo shape where it's like flat, but also they look well fitted.
Yes,
which is one thing that we're going to talk about later. Where
these
are really cute.
And they use the cheaper fabrics, which sometimes Disney uses, but because of the characters and because of how they're constructed, it really works. Like they're mixing velveteens with stripes, with whatever the fake dupioni is called, with tapestry type.
Poly dupioni.
The false dupioni.
You know what? It works. It makes really good bias tape.
So on my I would like to improve list, I have – it's all princesses. So I was like, okay, I need two princesses. I need to have two positives. I need to have two princesses that I like their costumes. And my two are Rapunzel, but with the full braid, not the loose hair Rapunzel, and Tiana. Tiana's, it's a mix of fabrics like the other ones, but because of the volume of the gown, and I like the texture. I think it pulls it off better. And the multiple layers and the flower petal-esque lily pad-ness of the dress.
I love how they did that silhouette. You pulled a different photo than I did. You pulled her in the pavilion, and I pulled a parade. But the parade, her hoop is bigger, too. And you can see them. They're right next to each other in the folder. And I think that is my favorite Disney princess dress, period. And I have seen the majority of Tiana gowns that I've seen, I've enjoyed. I think that they're beautiful, and Disney parks, no exception. I think that's quite wonderful.
It's a lot of the things that I don't like about the other costumes really work for this one because it's so multifaceted. It's textured. It has like it, and the print on the fabric is like vines almost. Like it all just goes together really well. It looks luxurious. She looks like a flower lily pad goddess. I love, and I love her, the crown. That's just a costume design choice, like to match the movie, but I think it's just like such a seamless look. So another spoiler about Rapunzel, if you don't want to have the magic ruined, I love how they attach her hair. I love how because they attach it basically, it's like hooked onto her shoulder. So, because that was a big issue for the people who were Rapunzel, for Rapunzel, was moving around with that heavy hair. So I could not imagine the neck pain you would have. I mean, obviously we have friends who cosplay as Rapunzel, so they could let us know. But like the neck pain you must go through to wear that. So the fact that they actually thought of like a way to make the person's life easier, I like that. And it's a beautiful braid. I love the flowers. The hair looks gorgeous. The hair, sometimes there's some Disney wigs that the hairline is just not, it's a little harsh. This one, it's beautiful. I love the embroidery on her costume. And I think the fabric choices actually work in this case as well because it's multifaceted and they have different fabric choices.
One of the things I like about Rapunzel, and again, Rapunzel is one where it's very rare that I see a Rapunzel gown that I don't like. She made it.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Like, it wasn't made by magic like Cinderella. It wasn't in a castle already like Ariel. It wasn't made for her by who knows what.
By mice. Yeah.
Yeah. This is something that a girl was bored and made. Mm-hmm.
And it shows her artistic side.
Before 9
a.m. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before. And it, like, for it 7? Has her. Because I feel like Disney could have so easily not put the embroidery on her skirt.
And is it embroidery or is it print?
It's probably print, but we're going to pretend it's embroidery.
But those are different things.
Yes, that is true. We could get into the bell dress debacle from the live action. Yeah.
Glitter.
About embroidery versus
glitter.
Print.
Glitter. Glitter glue. Glitter
when glue. The Hot Topic dress looks better than the dress from the movie, like better made, you have an issue. That's what I'll say about that.
I mean, you just can't say that the costume designer is bad if you look at anything else in that movie. She's so talented. And someone out there somewhere made a really frustrating decision that haunts me to my very core.
I wonder, I know because Emma Watson like said she didn't want to wear a corset. So I'm like, how much input did she have into the gown?
Honestly, I don't know, but Jacqueline Duran, she's friggin' talented.
So talented.
Like, and what's worse about that dress is like, yes, it felt out of place. And yes, that may have been intentional, but in movies, you really need to explain that. And I feel like if they had just said like, okay, so there's the scene where the wardrobe kind of barfs up all the ruffles and silk and stuff on her. And if when she just exits and kind of looks gross, like what just happened? And then she just ties them together and tries to escape again. I have a lot to say about Belle in that movie period. But if she had just said, I don't like frills, I don't like fancy things, that plain dress would have made sense aesthetically. Like, we all could have forgiven it.
It was a plot point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was. Like, I think that they designed it that way because, okay, she doesn't want to wear a corset because she doesn't think Belle would wear a corset or need one.
Yeah, like, I get the corset thing, but, like, I just think that you could have done embroidery over glitter because also this is, what, the 1700s? Like, it would have been embroidered. Like,
having there's just so, made a version of that gown and I did embroider it, embroidery does sit very heavily. So to put it on an organza, it would have had to look different, too. Probably.
That's true.
It's
because, yeah, Cinderella, like, if you had put embroidery on the live-action Cinderella, it wouldn't have danced.
Would have weighed it down. And, like, I get why they did glitter. I have a lot of feelings. But parks. So let's talk about Belle and the parks because we have three Belle dresses to talk about.
So this is going into the so we'll get back to the any other did you have any other costumes that were your favorites? We can get back to that.
We'll go back because I have one that I love, but we're talking about Belle.
Now we're getting to the costumes we would improve. Belle, because that was both on both of our lists.
No, I just want to talk about how ridiculous. I can't even talk. Ridiculous.
I just love that, like, there's a princess folder, but then Belle just has her own folder.
Belle and Aurora both have their own folders because I have a lot to say about both of them.
Yes, I'm excited.
So Belle, we'll start with her just basic current Princess Pavilion dress, which is like that buttery yellow. And it's
which both like looks velvet. Like the dress and doesn't look like the dress.
Well, it looks, you know, like how I like to do things, like you kind of take what you like and you, and I don't hate it. I don't even dislike it. I think that the shape, it's not extravagant enough for mm-hmm. Belle.
It looks Victorian almost.
I could see that.
Like, with especially with the top. Like, the top half is very, like, the
top definitely
part.
Looks Victorian. The bottom looks like they tried to do a Rococo thing, and it just didn't quite work. And, again, having made a version of this dress, velvet's heavy. So the shape, that, like, A shape, it almost looks geometric because that top layer is heavy and it's weighing down on whatever's trying to puff it out. And I don't know. But then there's If you go up one, I don't remember what park this is, but it's somewhere not in the U.S.
Yeah, it's a parade version of Belle, which it's a little more flowy and looks like it has some like organza to it.
And it looks, it's kind of fun, but it doesn't work. Like, yeah. I like a lot of the elements that they did. I like the flower incorporated, like how,
The pink flowers.
Yeah, I would have done red, like homegirl Tracy did.
I mean, that was beautiful. Tracy, all of her costumes are beautiful and impeccable.
But also the way that top layer is just straight across instead of like it, I feel like it, if it had rounded up, like been more like high bottom, low shape.
The bottom layer is pleated. Yeah. So it's pleated fabric as opposed to the drapey fabric. And it doesn't do like the curtain effect.
That doesn't bother me. It's the way that it transitions from that top layer to the second layer. And also the way that the bodice and the underlayer match, but then they layered pink into the drapey part and it looks like flesh.
Yeah.
Okay. And then are you ready to talk Paint the Night?
This was the one, as soon as I told you the idea for this episode, you said Supreme Belle or
Bellezilla.
Bellezilla. Yes. That was
so whoever came up with this idea, I would love to have a meeting with them and just get inside their head because I don't understand it.
So this is the Paint the Night Godzilla Belle, Supreme Belle, Bellezilla, where it's the dress part is the float and then it's a woman's body for the upper half. It's Lumiere-esque almost, or like Beast.
It's so weird. Okay, so she's got her little like delicate neck, shoulder, like sleeve detail.
Flotation device?
It looks like, it looks like a life, like flotation, like, or life preserver, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. It looks like they took it and blew it up like her normal one and blew it up like a balloon. You can't see her neck.
Nope.
You can't see the top half of her arm, like, at all.
You can barely see her face.
On that parade, you can't really see anybody's face.
That's true.
All their dresses are lit up, but they didn't light their faces with, like, extra lights or anything. It glows. She looks like a nailed it version of one of those Barbie cakes.
Like a princess cake.
but it just, oh my gosh, it's so... Why? It looks like a lampshade if you squint.
Yep. It looks like just vintage, like a fancy lampshade.
Oh my gosh. Like,
have
like
you ever seen in Electrical Light Parade the original Blue Fairy float?
No, but I'm going to get it.
So that is what I think a successful version of this is, because it actually looks like a dress and it comes out at the hips and it goes down and it's completely the fairy is unencumbered from the waist up.
So
I feel like that's what they were trying to do, but I feel like the Blue Fairy one is, and the Blue Fairy, her skirt is the entire float.
Right.
Like, there's not anything else. So that might've had something to do with it. But I just feel like that's a much more successful version of what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, so back to the Parks Bell though, the meet and greet bell. So in this case, we were talking about like with Tiana and Rapunzel, the mixture of fabrics worked because it had a variety. I don't like when you have like, so Belle, and there's a lot of princesses like this, she has that kind of like, it's not a solid color corset, it has a pattern on it, but what I don't like about it is it's just that, it's not, to me, you almost have to mix and match and have layers. It I feel like they're trying to give it a depth here, but it just does not work for me.
So I think that these, I was trying to look up and see when these ones were all designed, because I know it was probably around 2011, I want to say, but I remember when these were leaked, like these images were leaked and we were looking at them and we're all like, how is that Belle? Cause the old Belle was like mustard yellow, very like true to what the animation looked like, for better or worse. but I think that I was wondering if they were getting ideas from cosplayers at the time who were like kind of doing their stylized versions of things, because this looks like it could have been someone who was like, well, I always envisioned it this way. One thing that I remember Jo Ellen told me, she made a Lady Amalthea dress and it doesn't look like Lady Amalthea. Amalthea. I can't talk right now. But she said that she designed it based on how it made her feel and how she remembered it from when she was a kid.
Oh, I like that.
I want to jump to Aurora. So I pulled three photos of Aurora and you pulled one, which I think is the same. It's just you get to see the whole dress where I only showed the up close. So I pulled the one that was 2010, one that's current, and then one from, I believe this is Paris or Tokyo. I am blanking. Originally, it looks like they just tried to make that, you know, make it look, she has the sticky uppy things on her shoulders and she has sleeves and it's super unflattering. Mm-hmm. It just looks like, you know, a version of that Belzilla where it just, it doesn't fit her properly. She looks mm-hmm. uncomfortable, like she can't move. And I really like the choice, how they reinterpreted the pointy shoulder detail for the new Aurora dress, because it, even though it's not exact, it's, you know, it's pleated. The sleeves are fitted and stretchy so she can move.
Yes. And it's not like right on her shoulder so she can actually like hug right. children and move her arms.
It's like yeah. a little off the shoulder. It's mm-hmm. it's a lot more flattering of a cut. Not a fan of the fabric. No. But
that's the only reason that's on my bad list is I don't like the fabric choice.
Yeah, it's they got it in their head that everyone had to have like swirling magic fabric. Like we're not going to, I don't think either of us pulled Cinderella photos, but she had that.
I pulled one.
Oh, okay.
yeah.
She has that like swirly, the same swirly fabric. And it's just kind of meh.
So it's interesting with these Aurora costumes that it shows one that is, the older one that is like, oh, this is trying to copy the movie exactly. Like, mm-hmm. and it just does not translate because, yeah, the shoulder thing should be more off the shoulder and they're like right on top of her shoulders.
And they're so stiff and yeah. and they're moving weird. Mm-hmm. So they look super wrinkled.
I don't like the peplum in any of these cases. Not the peplum, whatever that thing around her waist would yeah. be called, the detail. But yeah, it's mostly the fabric. I will say I do like the modern gown much more in terms of the silhouette.
While we're still on Aurora, this weird dress that we started talking about and then didn't. It's, again, I think it's some like spring parade because it looks like flowers, looks like a lily skirt. And I love the concept. I don't love the execution. The bodice doesn't really go with it. The petals on the top part look like somebody ripped up some tissue paper from a party and just attached it. And the petals are cute. The skirt's cute. But with the rest of it, the dots that make it look like a lily feel out of place. But I love the ideas in this one.
Yeah, I like that they tried for something different. This is probably a parade. I mean, usually yeah. if it's something interesting, it's either Tokyo, Hong Kong, or Shanghai. Right. Even sometimes Paris, they tend to do the more like interesting, unique things with the costumes. Yeah, it's a pink Aurora. It's supposed to look like a lily. I don't like her sleeves because it looks like a bodysuit to me. It's a very thick material. I like a little more gossamer personally.
I think it's just because it's shiny. Like the new park, it's just almost sheer.
And the neck thing is not flattering, nor is it Aurora. Like it's
that
yeah.
weird necklace that looks like a ribbon that should have a medal at the end of it.
Yep. Also, yeah, just the thing, like her shoulder piece, like the neckline is just not – it's they took a corset and they just looked like they put that on top.
I do have a question. These are technically not Disney princesses. They are Disney queens. But in Frozen – mm-hmm. Oh, Elsa, why? Like, the Anna dress is super cute. Mm-hmm. The wig looks good. The cape looks good. The bodice, the embroidery is nice. The pleating is, it's a little chunkier than I would have preferred it, but it looks, like, well done. And then you got Elsa's fifth spirit dress, and it's so high on her that it looks like her arms are going to fall asleep. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the costumes from the new – from Frozen 2, the coronation, Anna.
And the fifth spirit, Elsa.
What, I mean, this isn't anything to do with the costumes. I don't like that the day the movie came out, these costumes were released, and a lot of people cannot see the movie the day it comes out. So it was a big spoiler for a lot of people.
What's interesting is they went out of their way to not show either of these gowns. They're not in any of the little golden books. They're not in any of, like, there wasn't any dolls or anything. When I went, I was really lucky and got to go to Disney Animation Studios before I saw the movie, and we got to see a lot of the making of. They would not show us the mystery dress before. I knew that there was a surprise dress, but I didn't know the context. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I personally think that the costume designers are starting to go, how can we mess with cosplayers? Because the designs are getting less and less constructed like real costumes. And then you end up with that.
Well, it looks like, it just doesn't look, it literally looks like it's a printed fabric where it should maybe be hand-painted.
And Elsa's dress is made out of magic. Like, there's no sparkle. And if there is, it's not enough. It's like the stones on it just look, the problem with those stones is like, it's hard to make them look good. Like, a lot of people have resorted to, like, holographic vinyl, which looks better than whatever's going on here. But, yeah, so I don't think that any Elsa dress has ever been a win at the parks. Mm-mm. I think that Anna's have been fine, consistently, like, fine to good. But they just can't get Elsa right. Same with her hair. Like, if you look at the braided wigs, which I don't even want to get into because we're talking about gowns, but they can't get Elsa right. And that's disappointing because her dresses are made of magic.
Yes. How do you recreate magic?
Lots of sparkles and not glitter.
Where is that? So Ariel, where is that costume from? Is that the movie? Because I don't remember it.
No, it's not in the movie at all. It looks like it's loosely based on her pink dress, but made aqua. And this is the official Disney Princess Ariel dress. So when they have the official Disney Princess lineup with there's 12 of them. This is the dress that got designed for that. And so they brought this to the park. I think it may have first been seen at Ariel's Grotto. It may not have, but it's weird.
I get like why you can't have the mermaid Ariel for many reasons, just besides mobility, besides people being inappropriate. But like, she has so many great costumes. Even the sail dress, I think, would be something
they
more
would
interesting.
Never do that.
I know they would never do that, but I'm like, at least that's like. I mean, I think the pink dress is one of my favorite any Disney princess dresses. I mean, it's delightfully 80s in its way, but it's
such a nod to all the other princesses. It has, you know, the slash and puff sleeve for Snow White. It's pink, like one of Aurora's dresses sometimes pink. There was something that has the peplums like Cinderella. And this is so flat. The skirt is so flat.
It's flat. It looks cheap to me.
The sleeves are huge.
Yeah.
But it needs that balance.
The Ariel one, it's the biggest crime is that it's not from the movie. It's not, maybe they, I don't know if it was in a sequel ever. Like, you need to make something that kids will recognize besides that she has red hair.
One thing I said when I did princess parties was people would, or kids would be familiar with the park. So they would be like, that's not your dress. And I'd be like, well, do you wear the same thing every day? So I get it a little, but I also, I'm just like, come on, why not the pink dress?
Yeah. Or at least make it in her color schemes or something. Like,
I don't know. And this is also, they tried to make it very magical. It's very sparkly. It's very shimmery. But almost to its detriment, because not one part of that is not reflective. Like, you have the mirror organza, you have the layers of fabric over the sequins on the skirt and the bodice, and then the top is like this weird pressed satin or taffeta or something. It's, I feel like Michelle. It's just not a great night for Ariel.
I mean, at least if it were pink, it would be the right color. it still wouldn't be the right dress, but it's just like, oh, you really just pulled this out of nowhere.
It's really, I mean, it's really similar. I mean, it's almost like they pulled some of her wedding dress too. But her wedding dress is huge on the bottom.
Yeah, it needs a lot more volume.
I don't know why they like just decided that they didn't need a petticoat.
Yeah, I just, the Ariel one, it's not even like I would improve it. I would just do a gown
for I would change the whole thing.
It's like in Canada Drag Race.
I would have a different shoe. I think I would have added a purse. I would have changed the silhouette. And I think
so
I,
completely
I
think
different. Yeah. Oh, Brooklyn, I love you.
But yeah, yeah, completely different. So yeah, that's all I have to say about Ariel is just change it. Just change it to something from the movie. Dealer's choice.
So the last princess we have is Cinderella. Oh, wait, before we go to Cinderella. Okay, so this happens on, I want to talk about something, on Aurora, Elsa, Belle. Their corsets or bodices look like they're corsets and they should be cinched, and they're not cinched.
Yes.
So they're just like, they're made for a lot of girls to wear who might be like slightly different sizes or something, but for some, I don't know why they put so many layers of fabric, and they just look super boxy. And
they almost go out at the waist. Like they don't, yeah. Even, or they're straight up and down.
And it's just, all those princesses have impossibly small waists. So what they should have done was added padding around the hips, making the skirts bigger. We'll talk about that with Cinderella. And then cinch the waist in a little. And yeah, okay, so the girls have to, you know, be in these gowns for a long time when they have their breaks. I don't know what they take off or leave on or whatever.
So shall we move on to Cinderella?
Yeah, so Cinderella, for me, it's the shape and the fabric, which sounds like everything.
So this is Cinderella from, like, the meet and greets. So the side things, what are those? Are those peplums?
Yes.
They should be white, right? Or should be not the same color as the dress.
So you could argue, as often as people argue about Aurora's dress, often Cinderella will get pulled into this. Well, she has to be pink because Cinderella is blue. Oh, but Cinderella is silver, so Aurora could be blue and Ariel's pink. I don't care. This color looks good, but I don't think that there's enough contrast between,
yes,
the peplums, the sleeves, and then the rest of the dress.
Yeah, I think it should be a different, whatever color they choose, I just think it shouldn't match the rest of the dress.
Yeah, because it almost looks like the same fabric. It's different, but because the colors are about the same. So I'm not a fan of the bodice fabric, but this is actually the best fitted bodice.
Yeah.
I've seen, especially after our last, I wanted to say that because I was actually gonna say, like, she actually looks like she has a waist here. So I don't know if this is the actress or just that this dress is better.
Like it fits her a bit better.
Yeah.
I feel like they all have that same design, all the princesses. It's just the fabrics are different colors. They all have that. Yeah, you called it the swirly magic.
Yeah.
Which I'm not, the personal preference. I'm just not a fan of it for me personally. I get you're trying to add dimension and texture, but it just is not doing the desired
effect. Well, and
because
it's all the same, like, you know, if you're going to do something, make Cinderella's look like a pumpkin vine.
Yes.
Make Aurora's look like the thorns.
Yep. I also feel like the sleeves are off, but they also could be exactly Cinderella sleeves because I don't remember Cinderella sleeves.
Cinderella had very bizarre sleeves that don't translate very well.
So this is
fine. I think in this photo specifically, you might be taken aback because it's at the side, so you're seeing her armpit more.
I
think that if you just kind of like hide that part with your finger, the sleeves don't seem so offensive.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Speaking of Cinderella and magic, you know what costumes we need to talk about?
Ooh, what costumes do we need to talk about?
My girl, Fairy Godmother.
Yes!
So I actually love, love, love the one at this park, aww, at our park. I think that they
I just clicked on the second one.
Yeah, we'll get there. They always, you know, have like a really sweet lady. She's just, I don't know. Fairy Godmother is my girl. She is like a lot of people have their princess. Fairy Godmother is my character. She's,
yes,
my favorite. She comes in, she makes some dreams come true. She goes home. And now I feel her on like a mother level too, where I'm like, be home by midnight.
Things I love about the fairy godmother, which aren't even two of the costume, she's not a sample size. Usually it's someone who's not, you know, a four. And also I like that it's not a young person. It's a woman, you generally over 50. And I love that it's like, no, you can still be beautiful after. It's not like, oh, you're out of your princess face, so you're not pretty anymore. No, she's just as beautiful. And it's more opportunities for a woman who's older. And I love that.
Yeah, I think that she's just, she's amazing. And when getting to meet her at the park too, like I always get really excited when I see her. And then you have Tokyo Disney.
Yes. Well, and I will say, I love about ours, the detailing on the cape or the jacket part. It looks like the movie, but it's real. Yeah. Then, the reason I laughed is because I looked at the picture from Tokyo Disney. So the costume itself is not bad.
It's cute. I wouldn't have used like taffeta.
So shiny. She has a mask. She's, what do you call it? A mascot?
A mascot.
She's not a face character. And she looks like, okay, so there was this movie in the 70s with, like, it was basically this, someone was dressing up like a child, but they had this grotesque mask on, and they were a serial killer, and that mask looks like the mask from the movie.
Oh!
Because it was supposed to be, like, I think it was set in Italy, and it was supposed to be, like, a masquerade-type mask, but it looked real, like, more realistic. And it's just, every time I look at this, I'm like, it's the girl in the red rain slicker is gonna kill me. She also has no bottom lip, but a very prominent upper lip.
I didn't even notice.
They drew the upper lip and they're like, we don't need a bottom lip.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of characters where you're like, why did you decide to make them mascots? Like honorable mentions being Sophia the First.
Red Queen.
And like The Incredibles.
Some of these, I'm like, it would be much better if they were Facebook.
Bo
characters.
Peep.
Yes.
I mean, I guess she's a toy. I gotta get that. Like Jessie makes sense as a mascot, but I remember seeing Bo Peep like, oh.
Just how good as the U.S. Parks one is, and I do not like, and it's only the mask. It's really the mask.
I remembered seeing this and I was like, I have to bring this up.
And it's also so tight. The hood is so tight against her face. Like it's supposed
probably
because like,
it's just a mask and not a full head.
I like to think it has like a strap on the back and they just like, boop. And the eyes. Who has eyes like that? They're staring into my soul.
I don't know.
Please look this up and then you will feel the joy that I feel. I even feel like the people in the background of the picture aren't looking at her, but in my head, they're all like, ugh.
What?
Like if this character came up to me, I would be afraid. Like, no, I've been good, I swear. But I do love the face character, Fairy Godmother. I just think it's so beautiful. And I have pictures of with the Fairy Godmother and she's so ethereal and beautiful. And I love pink and blue, personal preference. And I love the detail. That's an example to me of a costume that they changed for the better.
I just want more Fairy Godmother in my life. Anytime I see anything, I get so excited.
I love you as Fairy Godmother. You're my Fairy Godmother.
I just had someone email me that I was their Fairy Godmother.
Oh.
Thank goodness, because your dress was so hard to do.
Like, I'm glad you appreciated it. So before we move on to the last part, which is costumes we'd like to see in the parks, do you have any others you want to talk about?
Yes, we didn't talk about Evil Queen.
Oh, yes. I was just looking at that, too.
I think that this is one that they nailed. And
yes.
I know we're not talking about casting, but I have seen videos and, oh, my gosh, she is funny.
Often Cruella and the Evil Queen are the same person. And I think that they tend to cast very funny women in it, and I love it. And I think – and I'm like, is it just because you're a villain they allow you to have more character? Just the villains are so much more fun at the Disney parks.
I think fun for us as adults is also different than
That's
fun
true.
For a kid. Like,
that
a
is
kid
true.
Is excited – is often excited just to see their hero. They want a hug, and that's it. If – you know, it would be out of character for Cinderella to start cracking jokes.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't make sense. And the kids might be like, I'm sorry, what?
Excuse me?
But when Cruella's super sassy or the queen is, it just, it works with their character.
One time I was wearing like an all pink dress and the queen walked behind me and I didn't even see her. She looks me up and down and she said, I prefer black. And then she walks away.
It's amazing. Like, but I've never seen this dress. And I full disclaimer, I think mm-hmm. this is the official character at the park in this photo, but it could be a cosplayer from there at the Halloween.
I think
Halloween.
This is the official one because they did a special on the one of the queens who is hilarious.
Okay.
So I think this is the real one.
So, but I didn't realize that they have the cape with the sleeves and it's just the two together and the fabrics that they chose are great and the cut looks great and her cowl looks good, which is kind of a hard thing to do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen some meh, crowns. Mm-hmm. Back to Aurora, but let's just skip her for now. It's all a win. A very good night for evil godmother.
Yes.
Not evil godmother, evil queen. You see, where I always got to go back to the godmother.
It's a simple costume, but they went in on the details. It's dramatic. It has flair. It's everything you want. The neck thing is like unrealistic, but amazing. Like they captured it very well.
I didn't really talk about favorites, but I think this is probably like way up there. And then some of the other ones that I really like are not characters. They're like the people around the park. Like I love the Haunted Mansion maid costume. I love the Dapper Dans. They're not there anymore, but I loved in the Tower of Terror. Like I loved the bellhop costumes.
I love in Disney World, they have a show on Main Street and it's like, can I remember the name of it off the top of my head? No. And I know people are yelling what it is at their – whatever they're listening to the podcast on. But it's like very colorful Victorian dresses and not realistic Victorian, like Victorian cinema, like where it's just so fluffy and over – like remember in Anna Green Gables where she had those enormous puff sleeves? It's like puff that. Sleeves. Yes. Puff sleeves. And they're like colorful, but they're like – and they're kind of almost wearing like – a single color head to toe, but it has like an accent color and it's just like, it's beautiful. And I love them so much. And it's just like, oh, I love it. It's like Meet Me in St. Louis. It's like chef's kiss. So do we have any final thoughts about pre-existing costumes?
I have a lot,
yes.
But in order to not make this like a 7-hour thing, let's.
So I wanted to do dresses we'd like to see, or dresses, costumes we'd like to see in the parks. They may exist, they may no longer exist, or they may not. Yeah, just so some of these, I think I found all dresses that either never existed or don't currently exist. I could be wrong. They could, and I just haven't seen it, or they could be very obscure. I do have one on here that it does exist, but it's very, very rarely out. So for me, my dresses would be, I actually have six because I just added one when we were talking because I thought of it. Pink dress Ariel, would love to see that.
Right.
Warrior Mulan. So now this one exists. It's just very, very, very rarely used.
I would want the Mulan at the end when she's accepting the medal after she saved China.
Yes.
I think that would be easier to move in. I don't know. That's just, I think to me, that's like where she's at the height of her honor.
Because they put her often in the dress from the
matchmaker scene, which is where she goes and sings about how her reflection doesn't.
Yes.
Match who she is inside and
the low point of the movie in terms of her self-identity.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, it's cute, it's pretty dress, but like it's not true to the character to me. My other would be Hoth Princess Leia. There's not a lot of Princess Leia in general, but I love the Hoth Princess
have
Leia.
Have there been Princess Leias?
There have been for special events.
Okay.
I don't think they've ever been just in the park, but they had this event every year. It was like for Star Wars fans and it was a weekend in Florida. They would have Leia for that, but it was, you know, white dress Leia, the when you think Leia, that one. And then live action Cinderella, which I'm partial to because I have the costume.
I don't think they've ever done a live action other than for a special event, maybe.
And then my honorable mention is Ursula. So I've seen face character Ursulas, but, and I don't get how you would do it, but maybe they could do Vanessa.
It's funny because I was looking at D23 costume winners. And a bunch of them were Ursula.
Oh.
Because, like, when you do Ursula well, it shows.
Mm-hmm. It's a tricky one to do. You can't casually be Ursula.
No. I would love to see some Padma just because, like, her gowns are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see like the dancing ghosts from Haunted Mansion.
So they have them in parades sometimes. Yeah, that's so that's true. A rare one. But yeah, and their costumes, that was actually going to be on my list of favorites because they're so amazing. And I love a Victorian silhouette.
Right.
So do we have any final thoughts on costumes? Any more you'd like to see?
I don't know. Disney, work on silhouettes.
Yes. Work on fabric choices.
I try and be a little forgiving about fabric choices because they do need to be cleaned easily.
But at least, yeah, like I liked your idea of like put a pumpkin in there, put some thorns in there, make it a little more tied to the character.
Different, yeah.
Thank you for doing this podcast with me. I'm so happy I finally had you on.
I know. How long have you had this podcast? And
over a year. Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Well, when I saw you started doing those like videos on Instagram, and there's one you were talking about rides or something, and I was like, oh, like Cassie would be really good for the podcast.
Oh, I was talking. I did a whole talk on why live action movies don't work all the time.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking. Yeah, it was something I was like, oh, that would that's like a very good like podcasty thing.
Again, I'm not gonna get into them. But yeah, there's a very, very, very important reason why one of the live action Disney movies has done consistently better with like reviews and stuff than all the others, and why a lot of them don't work. We'll talk about that more later. Or you can just watch my thing.
Yeah. So Cassie, where can they find you?
Glimmerwood.com is my website. I am also at Glimmerwood on Instagram, Facebook. I'm not on Snapchat, TikTok, Pinterest. I'm just, when I picked out my name, I made sure it was free everywhere. Glimmerwood, Glimmerwood, Glimmerwood. Have a wonderful day. Magical day.
A special thanks to our Patreons, Aaron, Ashley, Danny, Eric, Jennifer, Lauren, Mandy, Sean, Tiffany, Tori, Valerie, Wynette, and Jenny. Please visit our website at www.1313harborthepodcast.com. You can email questions and episode requests to 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcast. To all who come to this happy podcast, welcome!